I had no purpose in my life because I had no understanding of what life was. I had no meaning. All I had was unanswered questions, torment, and fear. I was swept much further out than she was. And within minutes, the only thing I could see was water. All of a sudden, I had touched something that was so beyond myself that living a quote-unquote normal kind of day-to-day existence was no longer an option for me.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
It's always great to be here with you.
So lately in our men's Bible study, by the way, we've been together like for
a long time,
years and years and years, and we're all getting
like
a little bit older. Yeah, 35 years.
Right? That's amazing.
We're all getting a little older. And as we're getting older, we're much more aware that our days are numbered. And so we find ourselves talking about dying. And that can be a subject that can really kind of scare you or throw you off if you're not approaching it, you know, in the right way. But so let me ask you, Wendy, what if the moment that you thought you were going to die was actually the moment that your life truly began?
Well, today's guest is Teresa Roybal. And she didn't just face death. She says she crossed into something she couldn't even explain. And she came back with more questions than answers.
Yeah. So after a near-death experience, she didn't feel peace. She felt fear and this desperate need to know if God was real.
Mm-hmm. And so what followed was a journey through trauma, through loss, fear, and even moments where she didn't want to live anymore.
Yeah, that is until everything.
That's in her book. Yeah.
Everything changed through what she describes as supernatural encounters, including heaven. Wait till you hear this story.
Oh, yeah. All the details are pretty amazing.
So at the age of 17, Teresa Roybal's life was forever changed by a near-death experience. And this resulted in a dramatic conversion to Christianity. Yeah, Christianity became hers on the shores of heaven's
heaven.
Paradise.
Oh, gosh.
It's like,
well, don't tell them. It's part of the story. Okay.
They're going to be shaking their head going, huh, what? All right. So called and anointed by God to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, Teresa is this gifted psalmist and a dynamic spirit-led teacher. Ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is Teresa's greatest joy, and her ministry is often accompanied by the miraculous.
Oh, yeah. And beyond ministry, Teresa has spent decades building multi-million dollar companies. She is passionate about empowering the next generation of leaders and entrepreneurs through business coaching and development, grounded in biblical wisdom and integrity. She firmly believes that partnering with God and faithfully stewarding his resources inevitably leads to success.
Yeah, she's an accomplished songwriter and recording
artist.
Teresa has celebrated the release of an all-original CD called Songwriter, along with a powerful music video. And this is powerful. It's called The Choice, which has touched thousands of lives. You really ought to take a look at that.
Yeah, Teresa resides in the peaceful countryside of East Texas with her husband, Gabriel, and they have a couple canine companions, Tally and Taylor. Tyler, and there's a spirited chihuahua and a lovable golden doodle. So if you want to learn more about Teresa, you can go to teresaroble.com. And also her new book, which I'm going to mention right here before we bring her in, is called After the Silence, Sinister Secrets, Holy Visitation, and the God Who Never Let Go.
You're going to want to lean in and listen well on this one.
That's right. And you can get that on Amazon. Enjoy the show. Well, welcome, Teresa Roybal, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I am delighted to have you here because I am in the middle of reading your book, and it is so good. Like, I got a hard time
with
that.
Late last night in bed just because she had to turn the next page.
Yeah.
After
the silence. It's a great
book. Surprises.
It is. It is. It's a page turner. So thank you for being on the show and allowing us to have this conversation with you.
Where's the best place to get the book? Because I know somebody right now, I want that book.
Amazon.
All right.
After the silence. Amazon.
After the silence.
We'll put that in the show notes too.
Yes, we will. Okay. So we want to jump right in to your story.
Okay.
So, you know, as we've sort of taken a look from a, you know, a higher perspective at your life, wow, you have had an experience that has brought brokenness, which you've allowed the Lord turn into sort of an invitation to greater things.
Yes.
You have allowed the Lord to use fear to open up doorways so that faith could be expressed in the authority in Jesus. You've used suffering that you've asked God to bring into your life as transformation. All of this is what we each need to hear. So now you've got lots of stories that we're not going to unpack all of them. Because that
would take a lifetime. No, we'd be here for
a
month.
We want people to read the book. Let's get real.
Exactly true.
Yeah.
But where we want to start is because you have a fascinating story of a near-drowning experience. So take us back to when you were just a teenager and you're in the ocean. What happened next?
Yes. So a beautiful, perfect beach day right before the season opened. So very few people on the beach. I should have been in school. It was the first time in my life I ever cut school. And it was because I had a very daring, bold, older sister and kind of mischievous friend. And they were really into seizing this opportunity to have a perfect beach day. And it started out that way for a good 5-10 minutes. And then everything changed. And my friend and I were both in the ocean very, very quickly. We were both in trouble. What happened was I was swept much further out than she was. And within minutes, the only thing I could see was water. No sand, no people, no possibility of help. And when someone has an experience like this, I think it's a predictable emotional pattern that you go through, you know, determination, you're going to fight, you're going to make it, you're going to do everything. But it's really amazing how fragile we are and how quickly things change. And when my body could no longer fight the fight and stay above water, I had a life-changing experience. And that was, I suddenly was no longer in my body. And I was hovering above myself, watching my body just bob up and down in the ocean, and utterly perplexed as to what was happening. I was not a Christian. I was not a person of faith. I did not have any basis for supernatural experiences, although I had had previously supernatural experiences as a child. I did not have a frame of reference to understand them. So when this was happening, I mean, you know, I don't have words to describe what it feels like. But I remember thinking, how is my body staying up and what is happening to me and all of this? Ultimately, my consciousness just evaporated and I became completely unconscious. Now, how I could possibly stay above water being completely unconscious was another mystery. My brother, who was sleeping on the sand, was awakened by my sister, and he shot into the water, never gave thought to how he would get us back, because I was so far out, by the time he reached me, he didn't have the ability to even get me back or get himself back to sand. And ultimately, out of nowhere, a young surfer guy just threw his board into the water and paddled out. And my brother and he put me on the board, got me back to the shore. And within minutes of getting back to the shore, I began to get extremely sick and basically vomited my way back to consciousness. It was a very horrific experience. But what happened after that was what utterly changed me. because I could not reconcile anything that made sense any longer in life. I didn't understand where I was when I left my body. I didn't understand how that could happen.
I never heard of near-death experiences before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to hear about it intellectually is one thing. To actually live through it is very, very different. And I had no idea if I would have continued to exist in any form whatsoever. I had a sense that there maybe was a God, but I did not have any concrete understanding of who he was.
So did that scare you?
Yes. Instead of being happy that I was saved, I was both somewhat traumatized and I was also tormented because all of a sudden I had touched something that was so beyond myself that living a quote unquote normal kind of day to day existence was no longer an option for me. I had no purpose in my life because I had no understanding of what life was. I had no meaning. All I had was unanswered questions, torment, and fear.
I want to pause right there, Teresa. I just want to pause right there because there's somebody listening right now that is or has felt the very way that you're describing or knows someone that's feeling that way. So listen up because Teresa is going to dive into this that could help you.
Yes.
So keep going on that.
I think that when we know who we are and we know who God is and we have clarity and stability in our life, we have a foundation that we can build on. You can build a great, successful, happy, fulfilling life. When all of those things are not in place, and that is not the foundation, you're basically like a blade of grass in the wind. You know, you are just subject to whatever transpires. And for me, I was not able to just move forward because I didn't have an understanding of what life was and what the purpose of my life was. And so quickly, I was kind of getting swallowed up in my life has no purpose because if I could have so easily been extinguished from this world, then what was it really all about? And it started a journey of compulsion where any sense of normalcy or balance in my life had vacated. And I remember my mom giving me a hug and saying, you know, be happy, dear, be happy. You know, thank God you're still here. But I wasn't happy. There's no happiness and there's no purpose in life outside of faith in God. Because if you don't know who he is, then you don't know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, then what's the point?
Right.
So Teresa, with those kinds of thoughts and emotions just completely occupying you, some people at that point would just give up, say, well, okay, I'm going to live the life the way I want to live it as many years I have. There's nothing ahead anyhow, so what's the point? But something inside of you was driving you to find out some answers. Was that the beginning of your start for searching for God?
That definitely was. And it was a search that was completely and totally all-consuming. And I enrolled in a comparative religion class, and I was very fascinated by all the different, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism and all the different expressions of faith. But none of them did anything for me because something inside of my being knew that even though they were interesting and they could be fun and they were intriguing, they did not resonate for me. I only wanted truth, and I didn't care what truth was. I didn't care if truth was Buddhism. I didn't care if truth was Hinduism. I didn't care if truth was the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't matter to me what the outcome was. I had to find out what was truth and was God real and was he aware of me and did my life have any meaning to him? Yeah. Or if I had just, you know, never made it out of the ocean that day, would it have been the complete end? I absolutely had to know. I was absolutely driven to know. And without getting, you know, through all of the permeations of this journey, I ended up going to a service that was a charismatic revival kind of service. And it was completely foreign to me. My only experience with quote unquote church was much younger years when I was a child, and we would visit Catholicism. We would visit Sunday Mass. We weren't devout, but my dad loved the fact that we were Catholic, and he was Irish, and he was a proud Irish Catholic. Yeah. He had that badge. So,
you're on your way to a charismatic, charismatic.
Yes. Yes.
It's a tent revival.
Oh, wow. So I get there. I'm completely horrified, because to me, it's like bedlam. And it was like more of a circus than a religious service.
Share about it, because I just giggled when I read it, because we've been to them, and looking back now, like, we totally understand and love about. But in the very first experience, you're like, whoa, what is happening?
Yes, so anyway, it was a big whoa.
Yeah.
So I walk in, and there's more than 3,000 people, and it's packed to the gills. And I find a seat, and it's the very last row, right next to the tent tie down poles, and everyone is squished really tightly in this tent. And it was a very diverse crowd. So we had, you know, a strong Black gospel influence there, and we had Hispanic, and we had Anglo, and, you know, everything imaginable was under that tent. And the music was a rock band who had recently gotten saved. And they really got saved, and they were on fire for God, but they were still pretty rough around the edges, and they were, you know, going full blast. And then there was a large choir, and they were dancing and shouting and kind of jerking their bodies around. And for me, it was so utterly foreign that it was confusing. And
But you stayed.
I had every intention of leaving at the right moment. I wanted to be respectful, even though I thought they were out of their minds. I wanted to still be respectful, and I wanted to leave at the right moment. So I was waiting. But then I found that I couldn't leave. And as I sat in my chair and started to just heavily weep, I was screaming inside, silently, of course. I was screaming inside because they were worshiping God. And even though a lot of the worship for me was very outside of my comfort zone, there were many people in the tent that I saw their sincerity. I saw the adoration that they had for the Lord. And I saw that they definitely seemed to have a genuine connection to this God, this unknown God that they were worshiping. And it touched me, it moved me, it troubled me, it annoyed me, it did all those things, you know? And I remember being mad because I didn't have the understanding, but I only wanted it if it was absolutely real. And I was very cynical. And not at all convinced that it was real. And so, but I was struggling with all these emotions, and I was in my chair and I was heavily crying. And then all of a sudden, the preacher, who was like a cartoon character to me, very polished, very heavily hairsprayed and in perfect suit. And he looked like a television host, maybe. He looked like a combination between a car salesman and a TV host. Anyway, he was doing his thing, and he was jumping up and down and yelling, "Hot dog Jesus." And I thought, you know, this place is utterly nuts. And I felt sorry for them, and I was mad at them. I had all this mixture of emotions. I felt sorry for them that they could be so ridiculous. And then I also kind of felt jealous of them that they seemed to actually have some genuine peace and joy in their life. So anyway, so I'm pretty much a mess sitting there crying quietly, very quietly. You know, it's not like anybody, it wasn't making a scene. And then all of a sudden, the preacher stopped the music and he started to walk down the aisle. And I was completely oblivious to him because I was screaming inside at God. Are you kidding? Is this real? Do you exist? What is your name? Who are you? Why do they believe in you? And just screaming inside of myself. And he yelled at me, and I didn't know it was me. And he told me, young lady, you know, at the end, come down here. I want to pray for you. And I didn't move. And then he demanded that I come down. And I kind of thought he was talking to me at that point, but I still didn't move. And so two ushers came over and physically picked me up and marched me down the aisle. And he was talking and I was crying very heavily. And all of a sudden, he said something that blew me away. He said, young lady, God has heard your cries. He has heard your prayers. And God's hand is on your life. And there is a call to ministry on your life. But Satan's hand is also on your life. And if he had had his way, you would be dead right now. You would be dead. And he starts screaming. And then he says, did you almost die recently? When he said that, I lost it. I mean, I could not believe those. And he repeats it because I'm not cooperating. And did you almost die recently? So I shake my head. Yes. How? Almost drowned. And then he starts screaming in exuberance like, he got it right. It was like a word of knowledge and he got it right. And everybody was clapping. But what happened next was became the greatest secret of my life for almost 50 years. The greatest secret of my life. He prayed for me. He laid his hand on me. And my body fell and my spirit was seized out of my body. Seized.
Yeah.
Powerfully seized.
Yeah.
And I began to travel. And I traveled through the tent ceiling like a rocket through the sky. It was dark. I traveled. I began to feel moisture. And then I realized I was entering an ocean above the sky. I didn't know there was an ocean above the sky. I never read the Bible. And Genesis, of course, Genesis 1 talks about the firmament and the ocean above the sky. And I went through this massive ocean at what I thought must have been the speed of light. I had no idea if it was, but it was so fast. Torpedo fast. It must be. I remember thinking, it must be the speed of light I'm traveling. And of course, my astonishment is indescribable. And I see very, very far away, a tiny glimmer of soft light. And I realize I am being taken to the light. And the light, I mean, it was just wild. The ocean was filled with creatures. I mean, I imagine just like our ocean, filled with foliage and plants and creatures. And it was amazing. And they're, I'm traveling so fast. I mean, I can't engage with them, but they're staring at me. I mean, they're watching me fly by. And I realize that this is for good. I realize that this is not for my harm. This is for good. And the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter to the point where you, if we stood outside on a perfectly clear day and stared at the sun, it would be nowhere near as bright Beautiful. As this light.
So, Teresa, because you had this experience of like leaving your body, mm-hmm. traveling yes. at light speed through an ocean of wonderment, yes. seeing the light growing bigger. So did you think you died and were on your way to heaven? Do you recall consciously what you were thinking?
I was thinking about everything I was feeling. I didn't even get that far to think about anything past what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I was feeling and what I was seeing is all I could handle. You know what I mean?
Too much to even take in, I'm sure.
Yeah. I was thinking about my sensations, things that were brushing up against me, how alive I was, how real this was, wondering the purpose of this. What was this? What was happening? Why was this happening?
But you weren't afraid. You were in a place
no,
of, I want
I
more.
I shifted. Right? I was initially, you know, of course, beyond astonished. And then I shifted to a kind of glorious excitement of what I was experiencing. I understood it was not for my harm. It was definitely for my good. And I just started to feel like this is absolutely incredible. And as I was going toward the light, and the light became brighter and brighter and brighter, and then I could see, and I was still very far away, but the light had gotten so much brighter. Now I could see everything in the ocean because the ocean was horribly, horribly black initially. There was no possibility of any visibility at all. And then the light rose and I can see everything around me. And it was thrilling to see the life around me was thrilling and that I was able to breathe. And, you know, so I understand, I know I'm being taken to the light. So I'm lifted out of the ocean. And I remember thinking, wow, I have no water on me. I have no explanation for this still. But I'm lifted out of the ocean. There's not a drop of water left on me. And I'm laid down on a perfect white sand, immaculate, pristine, absolutely holy, paradise beach. I'm just laid on the beach. And I'm hearing everything that is in. I understand I am in the paradise of God. I also understand I am not in the city of God, because at a far distance, I see the city of God. When he took me out of the ocean and I was upright for half a moment, I saw the city in the distance, and I saw the light source was in that city. And no one had to tell me. I understood without any question.
I want to pause on that too, Teresa,
yes.
because
okay.
a lot of people will ask, well, how will someone go to heaven if they've never been told about Jesus? I mean, I'm just
yes.
thinking right now, what a great example of sharing how the Lord will do what the Lord will do, right? In and through his children and to draw him to him, and they would know. They'll just know, just like you
yes.
knew.
Yes.
And so that gives hope.
There's a very big moment that happened that was my conversion moment, because I became a Christian on that beach in the paradise of God. And I was well aware at a moment in time, very shortly after I was laid there, that I was not acceptable to be there. And at one point, I became terrified, and I thought that the holiness that was in that place, because there was a consuming fire of holiness, and I thought it would extinguish me. And what happened was the Lord lifted me off the sand, and it was as if a river underneath me and above me started to just wash me, wash me. And my heart is saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I mean, I'm completely, he was washing me clean.
Yeah.
I knew that the Lamb of God was the light that was coming from the city. Nobody had to tell me that.
Yeah.
I understood that. And everything that I was experiencing in that garden was the most joyous, magnificent, holy, wonderful, everything there. Okay, so let me just tell you about the trees. So I'm laid down on the sand. I have a moment of terror. And then the Lord washes me. And I'm born again. And all of a sudden, and the music, I'm hearing this music. The music is unbelievable, incredible. And everything in that garden is alive, almost like in an animated cartoon alive. Everything has personality. Every flower has personality. Everything has voice, voice. Everything is worshiping, and there is a sound and a voice that is coming out of everything. The trees, I see the trees, and now I'm frozen. I'm not able to move even my head or anything. I mean, I'm not able to move around. I'm completely under the control of the Spirit of God, and I'm just, you know, I'm just there. But as I'm being laid down and everything, I see the trees clapping for joy.
Wow.
I see the whole garden rejoicing that I am there. They are ecstatically thrilled that I am there. And I remember thinking, the trees are going to pick me up. They're going to dance with me all over this garden. That's what they wanted to do. I knew that. And I was thinking they would do it.
So beautiful.
They didn't do it. And all of a sudden, I start to feel inside of myself. This is very strange sounding, but something is vibrating inside of myself as if I am an instrument, as if I am a stringed instrument. And sounds, beautiful sounds, musical sounds, begin coming out of me, not through my mouth, coming out of my spirit body. And I am worshiping. I am worshiping. I am praising God. I become at one with everything in that garden. And then suddenly, I am absolutely overflowing with the tongues of angels. I'm just overflowing with the language of angels and singing and worshiping in tongues. And this is my experience. And I hear this joyous clap. To say that it was joyous, it was past joyous. It was in a frenzy of excitement. It was just, and it was the river of life that runs through the garden was clapping. And I don't know if it was clapping for me, although I think so, because everything there was so aware of my presence, and it's clapping and clapping this percussion, and it's musical. It's not
you appreciate the musical even more because you are a musician.
Yes.
And so you understand tonality and just the beauty of
right. Of
worship and music. And so it's a whole other level of worship. But I don't want to interrupt you too much, but because the story is so magnificent and I want people to read it because it just takes you on a journey with you. But what I'm amazed by and I love is that you're the only one there. And it reminds me of how he leaves the 99 for the one. And so you're the one, and they are clapping. They are cheering because, I mean, like, I just want to cry right now. Like, you've come home. And so it's beautiful. Beautiful.
So, Teresa, you have obviously one of the most unusual conversion experiences.
That's true.
Right? So I mean, some people are saying, well, wait a minute, you got to go to heaven to get converted. So one thing I appreciate about your story is that when you were on the beach, as glorious and wonderful and beautiful as it was, you became aware of your own unholiness.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage listeners, that is the first step to being converted, is to be aware of God's goodness, love, and holiness.
That we can't get
into
our
inability to get there without the blood of Jesus.
Right. Yes.
So you don't have to experience what Teresa experienced
to
be converted.
Although that's pretty awesome.
That would be pretty incredible. So, so let's just speed up just a little bit. You're in heaven. You're experiencing all these wonderful things. Did you start thinking, I don't want to ever leave. I'm going to stay here.
Yes.
What happened?
I had no desire to ever leave. When the Lord picked me up and turned me around and headed me back toward the ocean, and I realized he was sending me back, I was it's not a happy camper. You know, I was still so awestruck that it was very hard for me to have anything but gratitude. I mean, I was in complete gratitude, but I definitely didn't want to leave.
But and so I went. Then you entered back into your body.
So I go through the ocean, go back the same exact way, speed of light travel, Teresa the torpedo, you know, heading through the sky, through the tent. I see my body on the floor in the tent. In about a second's time, I stepped right. I didn't step. I was placed right back into my body. Like if you ever saw the movie Ghost, like a spirit leaves and just right back into the body.
Wow.
So now I'm in my body, still laying on the ground in the tent. There's only two musicians maybe on the platform. One older woman kneeling over me praying. Everybody else has gone.
All 3,000 people gone.
Yeah, everybody is gone. And I'm gushing in worship.
I love that.
In the tongues of angels. I'm gushing in tongues. And she stays, she prays with me. And ultimately, I endeavor to stand. And I remember, a singer on the platform sees me and says, "Hey, welcome to the family of God." And I thought to myself, no one would ever, ever believe what happened to me.
You've been holding that for 50 years.
Yeah, I hold almost 50 years. I told, you know, my husband, I did tell my parents. My mom cried like a baby. And, you know, it was amazing thing.
So you obviously then were nervous about skeptics, understandably.
Yes.
There have to have been over your lifetime people that really question whether or not that really happened. I just want to make one quick observation because this is to encourage all of us. You almost drowned, led to a traumatic experience, caused you to ask all kinds of questions, didn't know where the answers were. God,
in
his loving invitation to you, kept drawing you without you even really understanding or knowing that that search was going to lead to where it led to. There you are in heaven now, experiencing the real deal. God sends you back, and now you've got to start facing the skeptics who say, well, okay, so you're really nice, Teresa, and you seem like a pretty intelligent, sane person.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know any of that was really real?
Well, again, you know, it's been 50 years before she even unleashed all of it.
Yeah.
For me, The greatest concern I had in regard to sharing it was the holiness of the encounter and the blasphemous response. We are all responsible for what we know.
Yeah.
We are not held as responsible for what we do not know. And in my surroundings, I had a lot of people that were borderline blasphemous. And I did not want to expose them to something that would bring greater judgment on them. I certainly tried many, many times to, you know, share the gospel of Christ. And when someone is mocking and very disrespectful toward the Lord, I don't want to give them something that's going to bring greater judgment on them. And that was a big part of the motivation why I stayed silent.
Wow. Well,
because I loved my family. Loved my family, but my family was, you know, pretty tricky.
But you have this incredible experience where it is so real and it has so changed you, gave you a completely different outlook. So then people would assume, well, after she's been to heaven, she comes back, everything must have turned out really great. Like no more problems for Teresa. And if they ever did get, not a problem at all. So take us through the last years of the life that didn't seem to be so perfect after all.
Yes.
And you were still hit with problems and traumas and situations that brought deep, deep pain and fear. And so talk a little bit about that and how you went about handling it.
Yeah, a transformation is a process. It is not generally speaking, it is not a moment in time. So my moment in time encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and going up into paradise was not sufficient to transform my mind and renew my mind and break strongholds that had been so firmly established in my family background and up until my life at that point. I grew up with a mom that was agoraphobic. That what that means is she never, capital N, never left our home. There was an underbelly of fear and heightened anxiety that was crippling in my mom's life. And I, being the youngest and really home with my mom, you know, all the time, absorbed that in my DNA like a sponge.
Sure.
Yeah. There was also, you know, fear is a fruit. It's not only a condition of the human heart, but it's actually a fruit of demonic activity. And what I never understood, which I didn't learn in such specificity as I just recently have, even after I wrote my book, was that both of my biological grandfather and my step-grandfather were both very high-ranking members in Freemasonry.
Wow.
And that kind of, there are alliances made and covenants made in Freemasonry that sees the bloodline for generations. So although my encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ broke through that power over me, it did not destroy the influence over me. And I needed to go through a very strong process of really being remade in the way I thought.
Yeah, and knowing who you are Christ and walking that out. Yeah.
Yes, and really establishing myself in the Word of God. And, you know, for those who read my book, they'll learn that very early on in that process, you know, my exposure to ministry left an awful lot to be desired. There was trauma and there was fraudulent activity and charlatans in the ministry world that I became completely immersed in. I mean, I was like full-time, you know, young ministry person in a world of ministry that was corrupt.
Yeah.
And that is a contradiction. Navigating contradiction in our Christian walk is something that we all really need to grapple with and
learn. That's good, Teresa. Especially yeah. right now. I mean, with everything that's being exposed and people are like, whoa, how could that happen? Well, because human beings are human beings and yes. you know, there's sin in the world. And so we can't idolize the man, you know?
Yes.
And, or anything. And, yeah.
But, you know, for me, what I needed to learn was I couldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater because right. even right. though my ministry experience was so corrupt, the Lord saw fit to use, as he did many times through scripture, the Lord saw fit to use corrupt charlatan men to bring a true word from the Lord to my life. And so, and that's where discipleship yeah. is so important. I did not have discipleship for decades in my life. I did not have discipleship in my Christian walk. And that's why discipleship is so incredibly important.
100%.
You know, to begin to discern how to navigate these kinds of contradictions. You know, we see in the Word of God a great story in 1 Kings where there's a young prophet who has a true word from the Lord and an assignment from God. And then there is an older prophet, true prophet, who actually lies to the young prophet, completely yeah. deceives him, gets him to disobey the assignment that God gave him, and then, you know, very shortly later is bringing forth a true prophetic word from the Lord to that young prophet. So when
I
you're
can
not,
use anyone.
Yes. Like yep. with Balaam's donkey, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So you know, this kind of lack of teaching, lack of discipleship, which I think is still very prevalent in the body of Christ, is a great disservice, you know, well, to all of us.
100%. And we need human beings that we're close with to be disciples and be disciple makers and be discipled by. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit is our disciple, right? And so I think about that in terms of your experience, and we can mm-hmm. go through this quickly, but I want to speak on this because the way that the Lord rose up the authority in this mm-hmm. moment of who are in Christ allowed a situation to be diffused and actually to turn out to be a ministry opportunity. And so I want you to share quickly about yes. that moment of the men that wanted to uh-huh. to your yes. car and kind of thing.
Yep. And this is an incredible learning experience because as a very young baby Christian who was thrust into full-time ministry very quickly, which is not the wisdom of God, but in this situation, I was driving home very late at night from a service that I had attended in Brooklyn. It was a one-way street. There were cars parked on both sides. There was only a narrow lane of traffic. Traffic was heavy. It was a weekend evening. And I was stopped at a light. And there was immediately to my left, there was a very raucous bar. And four men walked out. And they were obviously inebriated. And they were looking for trouble. And I was alone in the car. And they surrounded my car and did everything imaginable.
Trying to get in.
To break into the car, kind of, you know, stating what they were going to do to me when they broke into the car. Now, this is the most incredible thing because as a young Christian, I did not have the skill set, the understanding, the training in the Word of God. I didn't have a good artillery to really counter what was transpiring. But I had everything that I needed because the incorruptible seed of Christ that was planted in my spirit when I was born again is all powerful, more powerful than any attack that the enemy might throw at us. And I had a supernatural experience in the car. I was, of course, initially completely terrified and they were making headway. They were smashing my window. They were kicking my car doors. They were trying to break the locks. And all of a sudden, from the very pit of, I don't even know how to describe it, the pit of my being, all of a sudden something very, very, very powerful began to rise within me. Very powerful. And the fear, terror that I had been under previously fell off me like a garment. And the rising of the Spirit of God inside of me was so powerful, there wasn't room for anything else. There was no room for anything. This was God in me. Very surprising, very unexpected. And it started to rise up into my chest, and I knew it wanted to exit my mouth. The Spirit of the Lord wanted to articulate something. I was a young Christian. I mean, come on. I rolled down my car window. That's how old my car was. It wasn't automated. So I rolled down my car window. And these four men, I began to deliver a word from the Lord. I took complete authority over what the devil was trying to do. I ordered them to leave. Three of them walked away. I ordered one to stay, and I brought a prophetic word to his life. And by the time that transpired, the horns were honking behind me. It was time to go, and I pulled away. And I
But you had the man in tears. I mean, yes. Like, that's the power of the
broke,
Lord.
The man broke down and cried. He told me that he had just lit candles for his grandfather. His grandfather had just died. And he lit candles for his grandfather. And, you know, and there wasn't a lot of time to talk about anything. So I just gave him a word that God's hand was on his life, that the Lord planned on using him, desired to use him in ministry. There was a call of God on his life. He needed to make his life right with God. And so he broke, he sobbed, and I pulled away.
I love
and then
that.
That was it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, we avoid situations like that, or we avoid speaking out because we truly don't understand the authority that God has given to us. So we kind of shy away and give in to fear. Love the fact that, you know, it just surged within you. And if it surged within you, it can surge within any one of us who have the Spirit of God in us. So just a word of encouragement that we need to use what God has given us for, you know, for good purposes. But I just, before we wrap things up here, so many of the experiences in your life involve you having to trust God.
Yes.
Initially in the search, you didn't know how to do that. God showed you how to do that and gave you good reason to do that. And from that point forward, in spite of the different kinds of traumas and painful experiences you went through, from ministry situations to health challenges, you stayed faithful in your obedience and your belief that God is going to come through.
God's going to do it.
I just want you to speak for a moment before we wrap things up, Teresa, to that person today who is either confused or frustrated or in pain and is having a hard time believing that there's anything good that can come out of this. How am I going to get through this in a way where I'm actually going to come out okay? Because I'm in such pain now, I can't see straight.
Yes. Well, this is what I will say. Intellectually, it's never going to happen. There's one way that this happens, and that is through the transformation process of delivering your soul before the Lord. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he poured out his soul before the Lord, and they use a word called kenosis to describe that process. And that process is the unburdening and the divesting of everything that is in your soul. I want to say just for a moment, if you don't mind me taking another minute, in Judaism, God commanded the Jews how to grieve and how to mourn and how to respond to pain. Now, in our Western culture, we don't understand how we need to respond to pain. We don't need to distract. We don't need to take a pill. We don't need to have a bottle of wine. We don't need to immerse ourselves in any other kind of activity to veer away from what we're actually feeling. What we need to do is exactly what the Lord taught the Hebrews to do. And that was to go before God, to mourn, to grieve, to cry out, and to divest your soul before the Lord. And so that kind of experience is where one encounters God. And in that kind of experience is where one embraces the manifest presence of the Spirit of God and receives healing. It's that place where your spiritual ears are opened. Yes. It's that place where you encounter Him. There is no quick fix. And in our Western society, we want a quick fix, and it doesn't exist. Feel the pain. Let the pain serve the purpose of God. Deliver your soul like Hannah did in the temple when she was in bitterness of soul and she was pouring out before the Lord. Do what Hagar did in the desert when she walked away and she wept before God and He sent the angel of the Lord. Do what we need to do to empty ourselves and to make the great exchange. It is an exchange of pain for presence. It's an exchange of ashes for beauty. It is the place of transformation where all of a sudden, not only do you feel better, but you actually experience joy in the midst of great difficulty. That's miraculous. That's a spiritual thing. Nobody can give you joy. Only the presence of God can fill you with joy. And it's in that kind of environment where people utterly transform. And not only that, there's so many fringe benefits that go with that, because that's where the gifts of the Spirit are made manifest. That's where we discern the voice of God. We just don't only feel His presence. We begin to discern the voice of God. And that's where things really change. And you begin to experience the wisdom of God, the word of knowledge, and you gain authority and you're comforted by His presence. And then the great challenge that you had, yes, it may shift immediately, it may not shift immediately, but you know that you're on the right foundation and you know that you're being held by the Lord and you know that He will carry you through this. But without that, I'm sorry, nothing else really works. And that's been my experience. And I had to learn that the hard way. But I will tell you this, once you learn it, you will never live any other way. Because that intimacy that you develop with the Lord Jesus Christ becomes so joyous and so central to your life that you're never willing to give it up at that point. And that's been my experience.
Oh, Teresa, so good. I just want to say, preach it, sister. Preach it. Like, yes, that's where I was saying in my head. I'm like, this is so good. But it's so, I mean, just all of your life experiences, and we have so many more to tap into, but we don't have time on this particular podcast. But I want people to get your book, After the Silence. Yeah. I'm telling you, it is a great read, and you will not want to put it down. And there's so many more encounters that will be like, whoa, Teresa has been through a lot, but God has been there with you through every moment.
Yes, so He has.
So much for being just so profound in your words and just sharing your heart with us and just allowing us to share your story with our audience so that they can have hope and that they can have an opportunity to address their pain and realize that their pain will take them closer to His presence. And so that's a beautiful expression of what pain can do. So thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Thank
you. We adore
you,
guys. And we just wish you all the best. We know you're going to be on Sid Roth soon and several other shows. So God bless you. We're going to be praying for you as you
thank
do all
you so much. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Blessings.
Take care.
Okay. You too.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.